Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. I was reading just the other day an article that came out. In fact, maybe it was even, was it yesterday that I was reading this for the first time? In fact, it must be because it's dated June 23rd, 2014. It came out of the TimesHerald.com, which is part of the Gannett company of newspapers, of which the Greenville Journal, or I'm sorry, the Greenville News, from where we are broadcasting today, comes out of as well. So it's part of that network. But the article that I was reading was written by Marissa Jewell, and she talks in the article, it says right in the headlines, if we want to raise chickens, state must get out of the way. And the article goes on to say this. It says, in a world where many people go hungry, families struggle to put food on the table, and the prices of produce and meat continue to rise, farming has found a way back into many people's lives. Whether it's backyard gardens or vegetation spread out through acres of property as far as the eye can see, anyone who has reaped the rewards of farming truly appreciates the ability to do so. A new law in Michigan has taken that right to farm from many people. While some would be led to believe it's simply meant to keep farms from rising up in city limits, that is sadly not the case. The Right to Farm Act of 2014 includes an amendment that states that no livestock can be raised on property in which there are more than 13 homes that don't farm within an eighth of a mile of the livestock facility. The amendment also stipulates that any home that doesn't have farming activity cannot be closer than 250 feet from a livestock facility. This amendment would affect many residents located well beyond the city limits. After reading this restriction, this is my question. Where will all this end? It is completely understandable that many city residents wouldn't care to be awakened by a rooster crowing to greet the dawn. But what about the people who live outside city limits and whose property falls within the no-farm zone? The government essentially has begun to tell us that we do not have the right to feed ourselves. If a person lives within so many feet of another, he or she does not have the right to raise livestock or to feed him or herself, the family, or even their neighbors. Will the government tell us next that gardening will not be allowed? At different points in history, most people fended for themselves and relied little on other farmers. Now the number of farmers has declined, and the population to which they provide has gone up exponentially. Personal gardens are making a comeback, but will the government tell us at some point in the future they will not be allowed? Well, I don't want to go into the part of the government here and whether or not the government is telling us what we can and can't do. That's certainly something that's worthy of consideration, and maybe on a future broadcast we can go into that aspect of it. What I want to focus on, though, is the idea that she says there in the end of the article about personal gardening making a comeback. That's something that I'm interested in. I'm interested in this idea that more and more people seem to be getting into gardening or farming. The other day, my daughter was telling me about a book that had come out. The book was entitled Born Again Dirt, Farming to the Glory of God. The author of the book is Noah Sanders. and the publisher of it is Rora Valley Publishing. The basic concept of the book is the idea of cultivating a biblical vision for God glorifying agriculture. They have a website associated with the book, and they actually have a conference that's coming up that I want to talk about as well. The website for the book, where you can find out about the book, the author, and the conference, is all, or can all be found at www.bornagaindirt.com. That's www.bornagaindirt.com. Joining me now is Noah Sanders. Noah, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Not a problem. I'm very interested in discussing with you what you're doing and what you've written about in this book. The first chapter of your book kind of gives a, in fact, it's titled this way, A Vision for Christian Agriculture. Why don't we start there, Noah? Because it tells a little bit of how you got involved in farming and what you mean by farming, and then even more specifically, this concept of farming to the glory of God. So why don't we start right there?
All right. Well, I grew up and was homeschooled. I am 25 now, and basically I think this has been my 10th year gardening, but I got interested in gardening some because I'd always been interested in working outdoors and kind of self-sufficiency type things, and so started growing some to try to supplement some of my family's food supply at the time, and became really interested in it and started doing some chickens, and it just sort of expanded. But one of the things as I began to explore more into gardening and farming that I began to realize was today we kind of have several different viewpoints of agriculture. You have more of the industrial type model that is common today, large-scale farms, a big focus on production of quantity and a lot of chemicals, things like that. Then you also have the more organic approach, which is a little more small scale and tries to utilize natural concepts instead of more chemical or synthetic. And so as I was looking at that and trying to figure out, you know, what option should I pick, as I read more books, I began to recognize that a lot of these people, their worldview was what produced the type of farming that they were actually doing, whether it was a person with a more naturalist viewpoint that was a little more earth worship, that resulted in a form of agriculture that reflected their worldview. Same thing with an industrial model that viewed, you know, from a more evolutionary point of view, life is nothing very special and there's no ethical dimension to how we treat living things. That also results in another type of agriculture. So I began to realize that I really wanted my agriculture to come from a biblical worldview and be based in a biblical worldview, based in the scriptures and based in what God's revealed of his wisdom in creation. And so that's what the book is about, and that's what I wrote about. Not it's not exactly a how-to-farm book, but it's a how-to-view farming from a Christian perspective.
I love that that balance where you come in the middle of those two radical ideas that we're seeing in our society today. One end, as you pointed out, being this idea that it has all become so industrialized, and the concept there is, you know, you just get as much profit out of this as possible, and, you know, just producing things that way. We see a lot of kind of horror stories there coming out of that approach. And then, of course, as you pointed out, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the radical environmentalism that is taking place where people are actually viewed as the problem, and the whole goal is to have a pristine earth, and that people are, you know, if you put a footprint in the ground, you've now made it not pristine anymore. And so that goes in a whole different direction where people are looked at as part of the problem and enemies of the earth and so forth. So I like the balance, the biblical balance that you have struck in your book, where you see it as that you take into the concept of farming the mandate that is given to us, the dominion mandate right there in the book of Genesis, and then working out how does what does that look like? How do we implement that in a God-glorifying way? So I really enjoy that tone that is in your book about finding that balance. Obviously, I would assume that's something, as you were just saying, that something that you were striving to do.
Yes, and it's like anything else in life. It's a continual battle and reliance upon the Lord every day to try to work towards that balance. It's not something we perfectly attain. But, again, we like to think of it in terms of what, at the beginning, God said to Adam when he put him in the garden and kind of showed him this is what taking dominion looks like. He said to care for and work the land. And caring has to do with, you know, meeting the needs of creation. Then the working has to do with utilizing it to put it to production. Mm-hmm. And we tend to fall into one extreme or the other. Some say the extreme of industrialism is we tend to be unsustainably fruitful. So mm-hmm. it's not sustainable, but it's very productive. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have sustainable unfruitfulness, where everything's very sustainable, but you don't touch it, so you fail to utilize it. It's not very productive. So it's harder to find the balance in the middle, but we have to do that because we don't want to be doing it from a lack of greed. I mean, from a sense of greed. We want to be doing it where we want to have stuff to share with those today by producing, but we also want to have more to leave to those that come after us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I find that whole idea of the automation part of things. Automation can be good in certain businesses and so forth. You know, we saw automation with the building of cars, and we're not anti-technology in our approach, but automation is not a good thing in certain other areas. I'm finding more and more that this hyper-automation of food production is not a very good thing, and it certainly isn't very good in the church as well. Some people are trying to bring in that type of approach and methodology to things of the church, and we find that certain things just take time, and certain things do better with a much more hands-on approach. And I think that both of those two areas, both in food production and in the things of God, even more specifically in the church, in the spiritual things in the church, both of those things do much better that way. Now, you point out in your book that not only is there this concept, the most basic way of fulfilling the creation mandate that's been given to us and the dominion mandate, but you also point out that there's just many good aspects of farming. It's good for the family. There's a lot of good lessons that are there. Talk a little bit about those things as well.
Yeah, well, if you talk to most of the people today that are interested or getting back to either gardening or small-scale farming, the reason that they're doing it, and the same goes for me, is not because we hope to get rich and make a lot of money. We're doing it because of the lifestyle benefits that it offers, the ability to work with our hands, to be out in God's creation, be around a home, to work with our families, to involve our children in what we're doing, to get plenty of exercise, to have good food to eat, to be able to be more free to apply our worldview than when you're just serving another master in an employer-employee type relationship. And you're also directly dependent upon the Lord. It takes a lot of faith to go out and plant seeds and depend on that for your income and providing for your family. But it allows a more of a holistic type integrated lifestyle of being about the things that God calls us to be about as Christians. And that's one of the things that I think is attracting a lot of people to it.
There's a Pope quote here from one of the opening chapters, and it says, "Born-again dirt is not a legalistic approach to farming, but rather an approach based on the heart." What do you mean by that?
Well, it's just like anything I think that God gives us. God has he's concerned about our heart and our heart towards him. And there's a lot of expressions of that, different applications, but what tends to happen a lot of times in agriculture or in other areas is we tend to say, you know, here's a good way of applying, instead of saying here's a good way of applying a biblical worldview in a way that we farm, it says, you know, this is the only way that you express, you know, if you're not gardening like this, then you're not glorifying God. And that's a dangerous road to go in. And I'm more interested in trying to encourage people to have the right heart. And I trust that God, you know, whether they're an industrial farmer right now or more of an organic farmer or something that hasn't farmed at all, the Lord can use them where they are with what He's given them if they begin that journey, if their heart is turned in the right direction to begin being obedient to Him. And I'm not just one, it's not my place to say farm like I do, but I do want them to encourage them to say go to God and He will show you in your particular circumstance how to farm. And so it's not about a method of here's the way God wants us to farm, but there's great applications, and it should all flow from a heart that, you know, recognizes God owns everything, the land, and we're responsible as stewards, that it's all about Him, not about us, that He's the one that has all the wisdom for it. We don't need to neglect to recognize and use the wisdom that we see in creation as seen through a biblical worldview. And we need to recognize that apart from His help, we can't, you know, produce anything, and we need to depend upon Him completely.
Amen. You know, when we mention farms here, I just want to remind the listening audience, don't tune out and say, well, I'm not a farmer. Noah is actually defining that even for a fellow like myself who just has a few, five or six raised beds in my yard and some blueberry bushes and some grapes and things like this around the yard. So even I would fall into the category of what you would define as a farmer. Is that correct?
Well, I believe that our responsibility to be stewards of God's land, I don't see, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see anywhere in Scripture that that's dependent upon how much land you have.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, when God called, gave Adam the example of the Garden of Eden, a few of the attributes we see in there is that it was beautiful, fruitful, and habitable. And that's what I think we have a responsibility to try to make any land that we own, whether it's rented or it's small or it's large, is we need to be stewarding it in such a way that it makes it more beautiful, more fruitful, and a better place to live.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to have to give an account one day for that.
Oh, great, great outline there, just some basic concepts to think about. And you have a section here that highlights then basic principles of biblical worldview of agriculture. Let me read the headings if I could, and then if you would just fill in a little bit afterwards with a couple of statements to just develop it a little bit for our listening audience, that would be wonderful. The first heading here says this, we don't own our farms.
As Christians, we recognize that God created everything and thus He owns it. And a lot of poor stewardship comes as a result of us not recognizing that what we're stewarding is not ours to do with whatever we want, but it's our responsibility to do with it what God intended, because He's the owner and that's why He's given it to us.
Mm-hmm. Point number two there then, or principle number two in this section says, farming is not about us.
It's a danger for all of us, even myself, to get into farming because I think I'm going to like it or I'm going to get something out of it or it's going to provide a great lifestyle for me. But ultimately, it's about glorifying God, being obedient to follow that if that's what He's given you to do, and to be able to produce food to serve others. And that really impacts the way that we view and the sacrifices that we make to go the extra mile to produce good food rather than just make more money.
Mm. Number three is somewhat obvious, but interesting from the approach that you look at it. It says God knows more about farming than we do.
It is a dumb statement, but I guess I think about that from the perspective of an industrial model that tends to disregard sometimes the design of creation, which I believe that we are to steward it, but at the same time, to look at the wisdom God's placed in there. A lot of when you see people feeding chicken manure to cows, it just seems to me that is disregarding the wisdom and the way that God created things. So when we are looking at how to grow food, my approach anyway is how did God create this animal to function and to live, and to try to copy that as closely as I can, even if I don't know how it works, because I figure the way that He created it is better than anything I could come up with different.
Yeah, that's so true. Number four, this is not only humbling, but it's comforting as well. It says we can't make things grow. And so the poll quote there again says, as Christian farmers, we must recognize that we are completely dependent on the Lord to make us succeed. And, boy, that's not only true in farming, but great applications for the rest of life as well, right?
Yes, it is. And it is comforting because it allows me to go to bed at night knowing, even knowing all the things that I did not get done that day, and be comforted that He is the one that ultimately provides for us.
Amen. There's so many good lessons, even with the very little amount that I do, you know, with tomatoes and a little bit of squash and peppers and those types of things. I find that as I'm just doing the work associated with it, a lot of times with my grandson or some of my grandchildren, there the lessons that open up are absolutely astounding. In fact, I was at somebody else's farm recently, and I was picking some blueberries, and I had my grandson with me, and I don't remember exactly how the conversation started, but before long, we were actually talking about the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, we had the conversation had turned to that while we were picking. It was just me and him out in the underneath one of these blueberry bushes, and we were picking blueberries. And something came up, and one thing led to another. And before I knew it, we were actually talking about the atonement. And I thought about Deuteronomy 6. About as you're walking in the way to talk freely and naturally with your children there about the things of God, what mean these things and so forth. And it actually unfolded right before my very eyes, right in that conversation. I was in this type of level of conversation with my 7-year-old grandson. So there's so many good lessons that are involved in gardening or farming. We don't have a chance during the broadcast here today to talk about all of the different elements that you develop that concept in your book, but I just recommend to people that they go out and get a copy of this book. It's really, really interesting. And the website, again, to do that at is www.bornagaindirt.com. In the couple minutes that we have left, Noah, I wanted you to tell people about the upcoming Redeeming the Dirt conference that's coming up on August 7th through the 9th. Tell us where that's going to be held at and what people will learn as they come to that conference.
Well, the conference is going to be held a few miles from my farm at a small church camp, Poplar Point Camp. And the conference is going to be focused primarily on the heart and helping us have a proper perspective of the importance of agriculture in God's kingdom, and how agriculture can be used to minister to others, how we can view agriculture from a biblical worldview. And our primary speakers this year are going to be a couple of gentlemen that have worked for many years with an organization, a ministry in Zimbabwe, Africa, that reach out to the poor and train farming out into the nations based on scriptural principles. They're the only other ministry that I know of that takes an approach like the Lord's laid on my heart to farming, and yet they've been doing it much longer than I have, and their heart for Jesus is really incredible. And they're going to be the ones doing a lot of the sharing and sharing some of the ways that they've been able to apply and teach and help and reach out and minister to people in their areas, and hopefully inspire us to be able to go back to our communities and use stewardship of the earth and serving people through that to be able to make disciples and provide for people. So that's kind of the general overview.
Again, that's August 7th through the 9th, 2014, Rockford, Alabama. I got out there and looked on the website a little bit and looked at where the conference is going to be held. It says it's held at a kind of like a retreat center or a camp that is there. Is this designed then, Noah, for families to come, or is this more for individuals?
Well, we welcome families. We don't it's not a super large facility, and so we're not at the moment offering family packs, but any children ages up to 10 are charged no admission fee. Mm-hmm. So if you have children under the age of 10, then they can come and you would just pay for room and board if you were staying in the camp.
Mm-hmm. So people can just go out to your website out at Born Again Dirt. You'll see the link there, the graphic that's there for Redeeming the Dirt Conference. Click on that, and then it'll give you all the information about how to register, and it'll give you the schedule, the speakers, the location, and so forth. I was looking for the distance because I'm interested in it, and the distance is only about 4.5 hours or so here from the upstate of South Carolina, so it's not very far at all. Just go right through Atlanta, and on the other side of Atlanta, when you cross over into Alabama, you know, it's not very far in at all. So it's very easy to get to from the upstate of South Carolina from where we're broadcasting, so people can find out more. Noah has a blog out there by the same name as well, and so you can go check that out. It's called Redeeming the Dirt. You can find out about his book and Born Again Dirt. You can find out about the author, and you can find out about the conference all there at that exact same website. Noah, thank you so much for writing this book. I always love getting the gospel and looking at how the gospel impacts the way that we look at every area of life. Your book does a great job of doing that in the area of agriculture, and so we really appreciate the work that you've done on pulling that together. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks so much. God bless.
Okay, that was Noah Sanders again. Their website is, once again, it's called www.bornagaindirt.com. That's the name of the book. The name of the conference is Redeeming the Dirt. You can find out about both of them out on the website at www.bornagaindirt.com. That's bornagaindirt.com. Farming for the glory of God. Of course, we read in the scriptures that says, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, in all things, do all things for the glory of God. That's the concept behind that book. Check it out on their website.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.